welcome to the one show that takes you out where others won't. Out into the wilderness, into the frontiers of new sales techniques and technologies. With your host, international sales pioneer, Will Crist.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim Talks on this cloudy, June gloomy day in Laguna Beach. Traveling up and down the 405, I got to tell you, I don't care whether it's a double dip or everything's going fine. All I can tell you is that people are very excited about the future. I see lots of people making changes, see lots of people committed to doing what it takes to get to the next level. I don't see pessimism. I see people asking others about it, but when I look at their behaviors, when I look at where they're going, what they're doing, they are plowing ahead. We have some special guests today, both of them very enthusiastic about opportunities, very enthusiastic about where the marketplace is and where it's taking us. First, I want to welcome to the show Dave Kinney, partner from Madison Street Partners, a very knowledgeable real estate advocate for people who are leasing space, tenants. He's the advocate for tenants and helping them to climb back down out of leases that are too much for right now. And we're all in for this reset in the marketplace. So welcome, Dave.
Hi, how are you, Will?
Very good. So before we begin, tell me, how did your son do in his, baseball game last week?
Yes. So they won last week twice, and last night two nights ago they lost the seventh inning, and so now they're gone. And on to next year, but that's okay. He did well and had a good time.
That's all right. That's the important stuff. That is the important stuff. That's why we do all this, isn't it?
That's right. Yep.
It's important to keep people focused on the right things, not get caught up in things that are not going so well, because it's those relationships, and especially if you're in a family and got young kids, they're not going to be around forever.
Yep. He's just graduated from eighth grade, and, you know, I was thinking about it. 4 years ago, he was in fourth grade, and that went by so quickly, and in 4 years, same amount of time, he'll be off to college. So I'm treasuring every moment here.
That's good. I was working with some of the people in our management program this morning, and we were talking about what their real goals were. And, of course, it first came out with, well, I want to make this much money, or I want the company to make this much money, I want to sell the company. All these things that they had, when it came down to it, it was like, well, yeah, all right, but what is it that you want to do if you could do all of those things? Well, I want to spend more time with my kids in coaching for their sports teams. I want to spend some time with them in school as helping them with their schoolwork in class. And I said, you know, you can start that right now. You don't have to wait. In fact, how many years do you have? And it turned out that he had 7 years. And he put some calendars, some dates in his calendar about when he would start doing more coaching, regardless of what happens to the business. So I think that's important.
No, I agree. I family is number one with me, and you know, they are first and foremost, and I know that there's only so many years, and then my boys will be off, and then when they're off, you know, I'm not going to see them as much. So I try to see them as much as I can nowadays.
That's wonderful. So tell me a little bit about what Madison Street Partners does and how it came about.
Sure. The company was formed 6 years ago, and I was the one that had the idea, and there was two other partners of mine that the three of us got together and decided to form the company. And what we do is represent tenants that are based here in Orange County with their real estate needs, whether it's here or around the country. And the reason for doing it was I just saw a niche in the marketplace that was being unfulfilled, and there wasn't really a niche Orange County-based tenant representation firm at the time, and there still really isn't. So, we did it, and one of my partners came from the Irvine Company. The other was one that I trained, and since we formed the company 6 years ago, now we have seven partners, three associates, and at this point in time, we'll stay where we're at. It's the perfect size, and we've had a lot of success, and not only that, but we've had fun as well.
Well, that's wonderful. Tell me, how do you read the commercial marketplace right now for real estate?
Well, I guess it depends on what side of the coin you're on. If you're on the tenant side, then things are wonderful because rents are low. And if you're on the landlord side, things aren't so great because they want rents to be high. But I guess, you know, I was telling a client today at lunch that when things are not going so well for the landlords, they're typically not going as well for the tenants either in the business cycle. So when things tend to be going well for the tenants, typically the rents are higher. So, but right now the rents are pretty much bopping along the bottom, kind of like residential. I don't foresee them going down any further per se unless we go towards a double dip recession. And as far as rents increasing is based upon job growth, which hasn't been spectacular, as we know, whether it's here or around the country. And if you have job growth, then you have absorption of space. And absorption of space means that vacancy will decrease. And if vacancy decreases, then rents will increase.
Well, now, there's a lot of space out there to absorb, isn't there?
Yes, there's, well, right now, it depends on what submarket it is, but Orange County in general, there's about 17% vacancy. In the airport area and high-rise space, it's about 21-22%. So, you know, we still have a lot to absorb, and, you know, like I mentioned, that's going to be based upon job growth, and hopefully, you know, the government here in California will change some policies so we don't see so many jobs going overseas and out of state, and those jobs stay here, and then we'll see the growth.
Uh-huh. Now, what's a normal vacancy rate? You know, what would be where you'd like to see it?
Well, I guess, once again, it depends on if it's the tenant or the landlord. The landlord, usually when you get to about 10% and it starts heading down from there, 10, 9, 8, then that becomes more of a landlord market. When you get over 10%, becomes more of a tenant market. So we're sitting at, you know, depending on the submarket, 16, 17%. So it's definitely a tenant market at this point.
Now, what does that mean for the small business person?
Well, for the small business person, when it's a tenant market, then rents tend to be lower. And so depending on your business, what I advise our clients to do, if you're in a static type business where you don't see a lot of growth as far as your business is concerned, you know, like our business, we are happy with our size, then you'd probably want to take advantage of the marketplace and sign a longer term lease. If you foresee a lot of growth with your company, then you'd want to have signed as long of term as possible with options to accommodate the growth. If you're in a situation where there's some companies, unfortunately, that really don't know what the future holds for them, and they're struggling, and even though you've got a great tenant market right now, you know, they still may sign for a shorter term lease. On the flip side, most of the landlords are not wild about signing long-term leases in the trough. So they'll tend to want to sign shorter term leases and then talk to the tenant in a few years, hoping that rents will be higher, and then re-up the tenant at higher rents.
Now, the tenant then has leverage right now, right? Because they could just bolt.
Yep. Well, you know, it depends on if they got a lease expiring in the next year or so, then that's the leverage, and there's plenty of options to choose from. So the existing landlord is going to be faced with, you know, no landlord in this market wants to lose a tenant because to backfill a space may take, I've done an analysis in a number of markets, and it seems like the vacant space is taking anywhere from 2 to 3 years to release on average.
Wow, that's pretty expensive for the landlord.
Yes, and so they'll have not only the downtime, but they'll have the tenant improvements that the next tenant will want. So if they can re-up the existing tenant in place, typically the improvements are low, and then there's no downtime. So that's what they'll want to do, the existing tenants, and what we do to help our clients is show them the entire marketplace and then use the leverage of all the options to negotiate with the existing landlord.
Now, when you talk about your clients, when you advocate for them, does this cost them anything?
Well, our fees are paid for by the landlords. So whether it's a renegotiation in place with the existing landlord or they're relocating to another building, the landlords pay our fees.
So that your client is not out any money when they use you?
Correct.
Now, what would be the downside of a client, lessor? Was it lessor or lessee? The client would be the lessee, right?
As our client, yes.
All right. So what would be the downside of the lessee trying to renegotiate their lease themselves?
Well, the downside is the tenant is busy operating their business, and they're, you would think, an expert in their field and in business, but they're not experts in knowing the marketplace and the latest rents. And frankly, the landlord would much prefer to deal with the tenant directly because they don't want the tenant to be advised on what rents are in other locations. So the landlord's job is to get the highest rent possible that they can, and typically what they'll do is try to befriend the tenant over the tenancy period or lease term, and then, you know, when it comes time to renegotiate the lease, they'll say, you don't need to involve a broker, it will just cost you money because I have to pay them a fee, and that will be incorporated into your lease. But at the end of the day, we've saved our clients a lot of money, and the landlord pays our fee, and you know, we have a lot of examples of that across the board. And it's like I mentioned before, this is the time to really exercise the marketplace and use your leverage with the existing landlord, and we know how to do that.
Now, when should a small, medium-sized business be talking to you?
Well, it really depends. You know, typically it depends on the size of the business, because larger tenants that are, say, 20,000 feet or more, and 92% of the firms in Orange County are 100 employees or less, so 25,000 feet or less. But the bigger the firm, the more orchestration it takes to relocate. So usually tenants that are 20,000 feet and up will start the process or thinking about it 12 months in advance. Smaller tenants, maybe 8 months in advance. But we've recently helped some clients, one in particular that had 5 years remaining on their lease, and we helped them re-up for another 10 and reduce their rent. So now there's tenants that are looking to do so in advance because they may have signed their lease, or well in advance, they may have signed their lease in 2007 when the rents were at their peak, and so now they're paying 50, 60, 70 cents above market, no fault of theirs. They just signed it at the up market or during the up market. And then we'll come in and do what's called a blend and extend deal and help them out to reduce their rent now. And typically what the landlord will do is amortize the differential between today's market rent and what they're paying over the term of the lease.
Okay. So is there a time when a client should not be talking to you?
Well, I guess if everything is status quo and they've got, you know, 4 years remaining on a lease, then maybe so. But, you know, if they're paying a market rent, but if for some reason they're paying well above market and they have several years to go, then, you know, we can still try to do what we've done with other clients and negotiate with the landlord to lower the rent.
Okay. All right. So this would help a small or medium-sized business stay in the same spot, have the same relationship with their lessor, their landlord, but just have a smaller impact on the bottom line.
Yes.
It sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Yep, it's. I mean, the key is to find a landlord that's willing to do that. Some are, some aren't, because some landlords see that. We've talked to some that think rents are spiking. We don't really foresee that. In fact, today in the LA Times there was an article in the business section about which was based on UCLA Anderson School forecast of job growth going forward, and they don't see much job growth here in California for another 2 to 3 years. So, like I mentioned before, if the job growth is not there, the absorption's not there, vacancy doesn't go down, and rents don't go up. So if you can convince the landlord of that and let them know that, hey, now's the time, rents aren't going up, we'll re-up for another 5 years beyond the existing lease termination date, and you won't have any downtime in 3 years. You won't have to worry about a thing, and we will work a win-win situation that works for our client and for you.
Uh-huh. Now, talk to me a little bit about what you hear, what you see when you're talking to other business people. Now, tell me again that statistic, the number of businesses in Orange County that have, fewer than 100 employees?
92% of the firms have 100 employees or less. So that's typically about 25,000 feet or less of space.
Uh-huh. All right. So when you talk to folks around, what are you hearing from them about job growth?
I think it really depends on the type of firm and the industry. Certain industries are obviously growing. Others aren't. One thing that we're seeing is the companies in Orange County, we see a lot of growth, but the growth seems to be taking place outside of the county. So the C-level executives stay here, and the worker bees, they grow the company in Texas or Arizona or Nevada. And reason being is just fewer taxes and less regulation in other states. So we've been seeing that, and also jobs being sent overseas. So like I think I've mentioned to you before, if there's some way we can keep all those jobs here, there'd be tremendous growth here in California.
Uh-huh. Okay. What is there anything that you are picking up that local business people could do to foster job growth or help maintain those jobs here? I don't want to get into, what somebody else outside, Sacramento, Washington, all of that could do. Is there something we could be doing here?
I think I think just getting in the ears of our politicians, and as far as their stances on regulation, taxation, and so forth, to negate the reasons for businesses to want to expand out of state or overseas as opposed to right here in our state.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And go ahead. I'm sorry, Will.
You're in a group called Gen Next. Okay,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about what that does.
Well, Gen Next is a group that was founded about 6 years ago by Paul Makarishian and some others. Paul was the main guy with the idea, and it's really kind of a subset of the New Majority, but it's based on issues and making an impact. And the three main issues that Gen Next focuses on are education, business, and defense. And so most of the membership and the members of Gen Next are people that run companies, they're entrepreneurs, and they want to make a difference in our state and the country and the world. So they, by making a difference, what they're trying to do is influence and impact issues with politicians and others to try to help our cause, to improve our defense, improve our business climate, and improve our education, which is down the road, all the children and people that we're educating are at some point in time, some of them will be in the business world. So we need to compete against India and other countries and educate our children well so they can compete.
Okay. What particular programs that Gen X is doing?
I don't know about programs per se, but you know they do back certain groups and entities, one through Google, and there's a couple members that are involved overseas with jihad issues and trying to change that, and in other countries, because as we know there's a lot of radical Islam and Muslims that recruit, and they're trying to change that around the world in Africa and other places. And then, go ahead. I'm sorry, Will.
No, that's good. I just saying,
Yeah, and then as far as business is concerned, it's just a matter of meeting with politicians and influential people around the country, and just letting them know what we think, what we're experiencing, and trying to impact things so we can help improve things going forward.
Uh-huh. Are you looking for new members?
Yes, I mean they're always looking for new members, and the process is just knowing someone, and then there's a process, selection process of meeting with different members and so forth. And there's the original chapters here in Orange County, but they've expanded to Los Angeles, San Diego, Seattle, Phoenix, and they have other cities noted to expand into, and hopefully, in Paul's mind, he'd like to expand throughout the United States.
Uh-huh, good. Well, tell me about, you do a lot of mentoring, right?
I have, yes.
So tell me about mentoring, and what does that do? How does that work? And should more people be doing it?
Sure. It's my mentoring has been a result of my involvement with Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, where I went to college, and I got an accounting degree there, and I'm on the board of the business school. So with my involvement via the board, I've gotten involved with students from the college that I'm connected with, and just help them as a mentor, and I've helped several get jobs in real estate and in my industry, and just do everything I can to help them with their career.
Uh-huh. And is that something you think other people should be doing or be helpful?
Sure. No, I think giving back, you know, whether it's your time, energy, money to organizations, to people, especially our youth, is really important. And you know, our youth are our future of this country.
Well, how you're working with graduates and near graduates, what are you seeing coming out of the universities and people getting ready for business? What kind of attitudes do you see them have?
Well, I think I can speak for Cal Poly. I can tell you that the students at Cal Poly are extremely bright, and it's a very difficult school to get into. It's I think for every 11 that apply, they accept one. The GPAs are 4.0 and above, 3.9. But the children or the students that I've met with have been bright, they're good kids, they want to work, they want to go to work. It's, you know, it's, I think, challenging in today's world right now to get jobs, especially for the students. I think they're the ones that have the most difficult time right now, at least from what I've read. But I do know that Apple hires more students from Cal Poly than any other university, and we all know how Apple's doing. So yeah, you know, the kids at Cal Poly have done really well.
Uh-huh. Well, that's certainly good to hear. What would you suggest if somebody wanted to do mentoring, they wanted to help in that project, what would be the path that they would follow?
Well, I guess it would depend on what age group. If it's college, you know, you could help with a local college, get involved, contact the dean of the particular school you're interested in, business and so forth, or contact your college or alma mater to try to get involved, which is what I did. If it's high school, then, you know, talk to the principal or headmaster of the school to try to get involved. I'm involved with St. Mary's here in Aliso Viejo, which is a, I'm a, the chair of the board at St. Mary's, and St. Mary's is a K-8 school, and it's the only K-8 international baccalaureate school here in Orange County.
Okay, and how's that working?
You know, we're doing great. Our enrollment is increasing, which we know that a lot of our competition is going the other direction. It's a fabulous school. My son just graduated the eighth grade through the International Baccalaureate program. We have a sister school in Italy, and he was able to spend 2 weeks in Italy touring and staying with a family there, the host family, and there was about 30 of the eighth graders that went over there, and then we hosted about 30 of their eighth graders in the fall this year, and we were a host family for the child that his family hosted, my son Dylan, when Dylan went over to Milan, which is where the sister school is located.
Uh-huh. That's wonderful. Well, what if you had a microphone and a minute, what would you tell business owners in Orange County right now? What would you like to say to them?
As far as advice or things I see?
Yeah, what would you suggest that they do to strengthen business for themselves or improve the quality of life in Orange County?
Well, I'd say as far as their business is concerned, I'd say, you know, there's choppy waters out there, but like you mentioned, I think that the people that tend to do well are the ones that have the positive attitude and work hard. And I think in these sort of environments, it takes a little more work than in other environments when you got a little more wind at your sail. So I think just a positive attitude and hard work, and then additionally thinking outside of the box and thinking of things that others don't. That I think that really helps folks succeed. And then as far as giving back, you know, I think that's something that everyone ought to do. It's rewarding, fulfilling, and like I mentioned before, it's something that, you know, helps our society and helps our youth.
Yeah. Okay. Now, it seems to me that part of what we see out there has to do with our imagination. And mm-hmm. if we imagine bad things tend to come.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe part of that is imagining what we really want to have happen over the next 5 to 10 years in Orange County and California.
Yes, I think what's, you know, called visioning, and like in sports, it's always, you know, before you are in a game or an event, it's visioning doing something positive and having a good game. And I think it's the same thing in business, is visioning yourself as doing well. And I think if, you know, if everyone does that, it will help. And I think as well, like I mentioned previously, is trying to help the folks making decisions see why they should help business, you know, with certain regulations and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And perhaps, you know, we can point to other states that are doing that sort of thing, that are doing certain things that are enabling them to do well from a business perspective.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think getting that conversation going is very important. Well, listen, Dave, I want to thank you very much for taking your time to be with us today. You're a busy guy, and inspiration that you have for us is to take a look at what we're doing, take a look at our costs, especially costs around real estate, and see if there's a way that we can be helped. And if somebody wanted to talk to you, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, they can call Madison Street Partners, and my direct line 949-468-2242, or email is dkinney@madisonstreetpartners.net. Or lastly, they can just look us up on the internet at madisonstreetpartners.net.
Wonderful. That's .net, not .com, right?
Yep, that's right. There was too many madisonstreetpartners.com.
All right, super. Well, thanks a lot for being with us, Dave. We'll be talking with you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot, Will.
Take care.
Okay, you too.
And there you have it from one of the leaders in Orange County, making a big commitment by being here and working with businesses with headquarters in Orange County, helping them reduce their cost for leases and real estate. They're taking a look at what that means in a down market when rents are low and vacancy rates are high. If you have any issues, or if you haven't looked at your leases, you might have some issues there that Dave can help you with. So give him a call. Well, let us take a listen to a little bit from those folks at Sandler Training who sponsor this show.
Hi, it's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Never ask for the order. Make the prospect give up. Always ask for the order is the salesperson's 11th commandment. You know, the one that just dropped right off the tablets. Never ask for the order goes completely against traditional selling methods. If you don't ask for the order, how will you ever know when the customer is going to buy? Well, think about it. The only person who can really ask for the order is the prospect. Find the prospect's emotional needs first, provide the answers to meet these needs, and you'll discover that the prospect will give up and ask you for the order. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
And now back to Will Christen, his next guest.
Well, we're very fortunate to have with us next Denise Keller. She's the CEO and founding partner of Benchmark Email. I don't know if you knew that we had a very strong, powerful email company in Orange County, but we're going to hear more about it. It's one of the world's leading email marketing services for small businesses. So welcome, Denise.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about Benchmark.
Benchmark Email is a do-it-yourself email marketing application that's web-based. And it really is, you know, we call it email marketing, but it's really email communication. So we have clients that could be a church. So it could have, you know, they might have to be communicating with 100 or 200 people. It could be a PTA. Or it could be someone that is selling a product to their prospects, and they could have millions of emails that they're sending a day. And we service all kinds of clients all the way in between those big figures.
Well, when you think about doing email marketing, what does that mean?
Well, you know, one thing that's really critical, particularly for our product, is it's permission-based email marketing. So it's got to be people that want to hear from you. It absolutely cannot be spam. And in our particular case, we actually vet every single list that gets uploaded to our system. So, you know, email marketing could be marketing an idea or a product to an existing prospect or client, or it could simply just be communicating, get information that you need to get to your subscribers or to your members.
Well, in your services, do you help people put together the campaign, or are you just the deliverer of a finished campaign?
Well, you know, that's actually an interesting question. We developed a product about 4 months ago called We Do It For You. And we spent a lot of time trying to figure a clever name, but really it's We Do It For You. It's us using our existing Benchmark email program. We'll upload the client's list for them. We will take their copy, and we will format it into one of our templates or create a custom template. And we find that some people that are kind of afraid to do email marketing will start with that, and then once they've done that a few months, they may decide to do it themselves, or they may have us do it for them, you know, indefinitely. So we actually offer a little bit of both options for people.
Okay. Now, how did you were one of the founding partners. You're the founding partner.
I'm a co-founder with my husband.
Oh, okay. So why did you pick email?
Well, actually, that credit kind of goes to my husband. he was really interested in finding some kind of a web-based application. You know, the beauty of a web-based business is, particularly one where it's a monthly recurring program, is it's almost an annuity for revenue. So your clients are paying by credit card. There's no collections. You've got they re-up every month, unless of course they cancel. And it really makes, and in our particular case, we're not delivering, like, we're not shipping a product. We're providing technology on the web. So we found that very, very exciting.
And this was 6 years? Was it 6 years ago you started?
Just about 6 years ago. It took us about a year or so to get it up off the ground. But we've been in full force for the last 5 years, and we're experiencing tremendous, tremendous growth. In this last year and a half, we have actually rolled out Benchmark email in native languages. Our first one was Spanish, which is wildly successful. Then we did Chinese. We have German. We have Italian and Japanese. And we actually just launched Portuguese this past Tuesday.
Ah. Japanese this past Tuesday.
No, Portuguese. Portuguese this
Portuguese.
Past Tuesday.
Uh-huh. Now,
and that's primarily for the Portugal and Brazil markets.
So you must have a huge translation staff.
We do.
Uh-huh.
And things are changing every day, so that is actually a big challenge for us to keep up on the translations.
Uh-huh. Now, so how large is Benchmark?
We have just under 100,000 clients throughout the world. The vast majority of those are in the United States. Our international efforts were launched probably about 18 months ago, and it does take time to build a country, but we really see that as being, probably having a 2 to 3 year payoff per country, because it takes a while to ramp up.
What do you use to sell into other countries or expand your business in the United States?
Well, if you're talking about other countries, one thing we found to be really critical is to get a partner that really understands the marketplace. Someone that understands how business is done. For example, in Japan, we hired a native-speaking Japanese person. So they understand how the Japanese want everything very perfect. They have to have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, which, by the way, is very different in the Latin American countries. They already think anything American's cool, so they have a buy-in very, very early on. But in both Japan and Germany, they're far more reserved, and it takes the sale a lot longer to take place.
Uh-huh.
So by having these international partners, it really helps us, hit it the first time rather than getting it through trial and error.
Yeah, we were speaking with the CEO of Fluidmaster, who's just gone into China in a big way, and they had done manufacturing in China, and now they're beginning to reverse that and beginning to see China as a large consumer market for them, and so they had to change their strategy there, and it did mean building strong relationships with people who were in the OEM business in China.
We actually did a cool thing for China. We hired a young girl who actually lived here in the United States for about 3 or 4 years. And what's funny about that is our son happened to be in the office. He was in middle school. Our son happened to be in the office. And we've gone from very small quarters to outgrowing our space every so often. So we didn't really have any offices early on. And my husband interviewed her, and her English was really not very good. And my son said, "Well, why would you hire someone that can't really speak English?" Well, we're not looking for someone that can speak English. We're looking for someone that understands English but can communicate in Chinese. And what we ended up doing was sending her back, and she is in Taipei, opened an office there, and has just done gangbusters. Got involved with the blog association there, which has 30,000 members, and we see China as a huge, huge market for us. The one challenge for us, though, as it relates to email marketing, and it's really true in many countries, even in the United States, is that people like to buy lists, and they don't really have good email marketing practices, so there is kind of a steep learning curve for those people. We probably terminate as many clients as, I'd say half the clients that we get in some of these markets because they just don't have good email marketing practices. In other words, they're spamming, and they don't mean to, but they're buying lists and just blasting out, thousands and thousands of emails.
So you don't mind firing a client for not meeting your standards?
We have to. Our reputation is certainly at stake, as are the reputations of all of our clients. Bad email marketing practices equal complaints, which equal poor deliverability, and then, you lose clients.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have expanded into other countries using local talent, using partners, anything else?
Well, I'd say the partners is the strongest. You know, we would typically get the idea here, and if we knew someone in the United States and we could relocate them, we would do that. This most recent one in Portugal actually came to us and was very, very interested. They're about a 10-person operation, with an operation in Brazil and in Portugal. And as I said, they brought real knowledge about the marketplace that we probably would have taken us, you know, a couple years to get on board. And we're really happy to share revenue in a big way with those people. Very, very happy to give them a big chunk of the pie. And I think particularly in Portugal and Brazil, which is our newest, I think they're going to have success very, very quickly.
Now, just a question about technology. Are you running, are the servers domestic, or do you have servers in various countries that you use for the email?
They're all domestic at the moment.
All right. That's very interesting. Now, you have an extensive library on your site of information to help people learn how to do email, right?
That is correct.
We find that,
you know, we get calls, and it could be, you know, because the reality is everybody needs, if you need to communicate, you need email marketing. Now, you may not be marketing. You may just be communicating, like to our local PTA or to our local church. You may just need to disseminate information to them. But some people that are truly in business say, well, gosh, I make wheels. How would I communicate with my clients? What's the need for that? And so we started creating manuals for vertical markets, and we found that has been a huge, huge help for people. It could be not-for-profits, it could be restaurants, it could be nightclubs, it could be a dental practice. And those manuals that we put together, we actually put out about 6 a month that are specific to an industry. They have been huge sales tools for us. And actually, that accomplishes two things. We create that manual in a PDF form that the client can download, but also it can be converted to HTML on our site, which has tremendous SEO value for us.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So when someone when Anna
so how do people how would people
I'm
how would people access that?
Well, let's say a dentist has never heard of benchmark email, and decides, okay, I think I'd like to start, you know, venture into email marketing. Well, that, if we've put the HTML on our site, that has become indexed, and we very good chance we could pop up at the top of his organic search.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can choose to download the manual right from the site. We also include those manuals in our blogs and links to them in when someone first signs up for a free trial. There are links to all these different manuals, so they're free to download those if they wish.
Excellent. Excellent. So if somebody just wanted to come and look at the library, what would they do? How would they find that?
They would go to benchmarkemail.com/resources, and there's all tons of resources there for someone. You know, they don't have to put their email address in. It's free for them to download, and they can just educate themselves.
All right. So now let's get to the fun part of our conversation, right?
All right.
Tell us about various kinds of software, web services, apps that you use to run your business. What have you found the most exciting?
Well, you know, I would say the most exciting in the fact that I think it has absolutely revolutionized our communication between all these areas is Yammer. And I just, it was so interesting, it's about 10 minutes ago, we had just put a new manual up, and already we're getting feedback from this new team in Brazil. Now, in our old scenario, we would have said, okay, did we copy everybody on it? And basically what Yammer is it is a Facebook-like network closed for businesses. So it allows you to communicate with everybody, and anybody that has that we invite that has a benchmark email address is invited to participate. You can have what I call broadcast kind of communications that are urgent that need to get to the entire team. You can have ones that are part of groups. So, for example, if I want to communicate with the sales team here or the sales team in Italy, I can send a specific message to them. And then if I want to have a private message with, you know, 2 or 3 people or one person, I can actually do that as well. And that is all done through Yammer. And it is, you can attach files, you can attach. In fact, every time we add one of these manuals, because we even found internally we had a hard time remembering to tell our own team that we had added a manual, we now make a post to Yammer, and everybody, and there's already 20 comments on there for the new manual that just went up. people love it, you know. Actually, there was just a comment that said there was a typo on one of the pages, which is helpful, by the way. You know? There are a lot of people looking at it now. So, so I would say that's probably in terms of communication, internal communication, because we're in so many different places, our most exciting thing. The other kind of apps that are just critical to our operation would be Salesforce, which is a web-based CRM software. And interestingly enough, I in a previous job, I was CEO of an employee benefits company here in the United States, and we reported to France, and Accor was our parent company. And we tried very hard to be able to share information opportunities with my sales team that were all over the country. I spent a lot of money trying to create it, it was a software-based CRM application, and after a huge investment, it really never worked. Then a few years later, I stumbled upon Salesforce. They had just launched, and we have been a client of Salesforce ever since. The fact that it's web-based, there's no software to download. You know, they're upgrading it all the time. We can very easily share information between, and what we do, especially for Benchmark Email, is everyone that signs up for free trial, which they can get for 30 days, we have an API that connects with our admin system and pushes all that information into Salesforce. So our sales team gets their leads, if you will, which are free trial users, and then that gives them the ability to follow up with them. We've got templates for them to use, and they can free-form communicate with that particular free trial user. We actually do something pretty cool, and that is I actually stole this idea from another company that we had signed up for service. But what we do is we have the sales team. If we can tell that free trial user what their web address is, what their web domain is, then we look it up, and then we look at their website and actually email back that client and say, hey, I looked at your site. You've got a really cool blah, blah, blah. And it's personalized in their template when it's sent back to them, like welcome into Benchmark Email. People are blown away by that. So that's something kind of cool we do with Salesforce. And then as you can imagine, as we add all these countries, all we have to do is translate the templates for each country, and we can completely track what the sales activity is.
You know, interesting this morning, Marge Beeler, who's I interviewed on the show several times, she's the CEO of Rare Agent. She was talking about how she uses Twitter and her team uses Twitter, which is very similar to what you're talking about. What she said was, every time they receive a referral or an email or a leadership, you know, or somebody with content, they highlight the names, then they research the leaders and even the competition. They send them a note or an invite asking them to join their conversations on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and other social platforms.
Mm-hmm.
I found that just fascinating that what she was doing is inviting people who were available to join the conversation.
Very neat. And, you know, people are blown away, you know, because everything's so automated. People are clever. They know that there's autoresponders and you can make them look really individualized. But those things take a personal effort. And I think sometimes people are so impressed by that, you get on the radar screen, whereas you may not get on the radar screen otherwise. And we found that to be incredibly successful for us. We actually also send a handwritten postcard to every person that we have an address for. Not we always have an address. If they provide an address, we send a handwritten postcard to them thanking them for joining us and hoping that it was with a picture, the CEO's picture right on the postcard saying, if you have any questions, we're here to help you. And again, we get people saying, wow. So that's what we're kind of looking for, the wow factor, to separate ourselves from the competition.
Uh-huh. All right. So we got Yammer. We got Salesforce. What else have you discovered?
I'd say my next probably most critical app is Zendesk, which is another web-based application, which is awesome, and it is help desk management. In the case of Benchmark Email, we could have people, you know, again, in many languages all around the world, asking questions about how to use a particular feature, or they have to get their list approved, so they need to communicate with us on that. And the Zendesk allows us to open a ticket, manage that ticket, and then close it when the issue has been resolved. We've got a lot of templates that we can use. It makes it very easy to train, you know, new people on the support team. And we get real good report cards on ourselves. How quickly are we reacting to clients? How many times do we get the same question? How often do people ask for the same kind of functionality? So I would say, you know, we could not run, we have run our support team without that previously, not to the same success. We couldn't grow the way we're growing without having that feature, that particular app. And, you know, a lot of these apps are month to month. So anybody can go and sign up. In fact, you sign up for a free trial. It doesn't cost you a thing. And then, you know, you can try it out, and you're just like the big guys. You've got the same tools at your fingertips that the very large companies have, which is what I probably find the most exciting thing about working today. You know, it's really levels the playing field.
Uh-huh. All right. So we've got Salesforce, Yammer, and Zendesk. What else have you found?
Okay, I've got another one. One thing that is really specific to IT projects, and you can imagine our business, you know, we're always adding new features, adding new modules to the system. It's called Pivotal Tracker. That's Pivotal Tracker.com. Mm-hmm. And it's specifically for IT projects. So what happens is, you know, we have a once-a-week meeting. We take input from our employees in terms of new features. We take input from our clients because we actually capture that through user voice on our website. And then we look at our Zen tickets and say, you know what, this happened 3 or 4 times this week. We need to change this. So we take all these ideas and we put them in a Pivotal Tracker. And then the way it operates is you have a story, which is basically your idea of what you want to fix or to improve upon. And it sits in the freezer until you decide to put it into the current section. You know, for us, that was really awesome because before we had a Google Doc that must have been 200 pages long and 75 columns wide of all these ideas of things that we wanted to do. But there was really no easy way to sort it or to prioritize it. So now we've built our Pivotal Tracker into external site projects, internal site projects, admin, which help our employees do their job better, and new modules. So we've got, you know, lots of stories or tasks, if you will, in these four different buckets. And then we meet with our IT department. We do that on every Tuesday. Then every Thursday, we meet with our IT team and say, okay, what can we get out of the freezer? What is finished? What's been accepted? And so it's an awesome way to manage that whole process.
Now, have you looked at BizPad, BizPad?
I have not.
It's interesting. I mean, that's similar to that. I've been using BizPad to manage projects. Not elaborate software projects, but interesting. I just give you a referral introduction to that.
Okay,
it might be interesting. BizPad. Rick Raddatz founded it, and it has been driving it. It works for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, we use one other really critical app to our operation, and that is 5PM. I think the web address, it's not 5PM.com. I think it's 5PMweb.com. But that's project management. And it's not, you know, it's different for the IT because of the way the projects move. But 5PM is another web-based, it may be very similar to BizPad in that, you know, you can create tasks, you can put collaborators on the team, and then it tracks all your emails, and there's actually a timeline for that.
Uh-huh.
We've been using that for probably the better part of 2 years. We've got writers all over the world, and to keep track of the amount of content that we're putting out and to translate it, you know, to do it any other way is just, you know, I mean, we couldn't live without these applications, let me put it that way.
Well, what do you use for communication? Do you use Skype?
Oh, gosh, we're on Skype all day long. Yeah, Skype is number one. Interestingly enough, the internal communication where we would also use chat all day long, we've really switched to Yammer because Yammer has a desktop, like an app, that pops up like a instant messaging does. So we've used that now instead. And what's cool is you get a thread. You can actually go back and see what has taken place. But we're on Macs in 90% of our offices. So we use Adium for our internal chats. And then we use Yammer. And, of course, we use Skype all day long. Vonage, which is, you know, we actually have a support team in India. And I bought these Vonage boxes. You know, Vonage has been around for quite some time. Bought the Vonage boxes and shipped them over there. And they, you know, they're getting a local, our local area code 562. So they, if they call a client on a very high technical issue, it looks like a 562 number, and they're really calling from, you know, outside Delhi. So that's pretty amazing as well.
Yeah. Well, that's super. That's great. Tell me now, what when you use Skype, do you use video Skype?
We do. You know, sometimes it sucks up so much bandwidth, we don't. Although I can say, we just actually signed up for the video subscription version where you can have multiple people. And
right.
Because we so frequently, you know, we do these weekly meetings, and we're always looking at the computer because we're talking to the person on the computer. But sometimes we forget they're there. So having them on the big screen and having their picture there, it really makes us more engaged with them in the conversation. So we're making more of an effort to do that. We actually just had a super-duper line, a fiber optic line put in our office, so it makes it a little bit easier not to, you know, not to waste bandwidth on that. So
right.
We are moving towards that.
Well, now, let's see. We talked about but communication with Skype. Oh, what do you do for video? Conferencing back and forth.
We do that on Skype.
You use GoToMeeting. You use.
Oh well, you know, we actually use GoToMeeting for our webinars. We conduct a daily webinar and we use GoToMeeting for that, and that works very, very well, very well.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, what we do frequently is we'll maybe take every other week, we will record a webinar and then share that with people if they weren't able to make the webinar. But it's great for them to go back and review what happened, because we find that our webinars, people get really detailed, and I'm kind of a fast person. I don't want to stay at something for more than a half hour, but I find that our sales manager who's running these webinars finds that people are staying on for an hour and 5 minutes. And they're really asking super, you know, really, really get great questions. So I guess that's a good sign.
Uh-huh. So you use GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar probably.
That is correct.
And do you use that to share your screens back and forth with India and Portugal and Japan?
We use Skype primarily for that.
You share your screens using Skype?
We do. We take control
really?
Of the screens. We do, we find that works really, really well. The other thing that we've done, when it's something complex, like if we add a new feature and it's a little bit tricky to figure out, because most of our Macs are new and they have the QuickTime built into them, we'll make a super quick video and say, okay, here's exactly what the steps were, and we'll shoot that off and now make that available via Yammer. The other place that's really great is to show that to the IT team. You know, if you can't recreate the problem, they don't know what the heck you're talking about. So we'll go through and we'll try it on Chrome, we'll try it on Safari, we'll try it on Internet Explorer and go, aha, here's where it is, here's exactly what we're talking about. And anybody can make, you don't have to know anything about making video. It's idiot-proof. You just click on the arrow and off you go. So we really encourage that kind of documentation of it.
Click on the arrow with Skype, you mean?
No, with this QuickTime video. If you're actually recording the steps on the Mac.
Okay, all right. Okay, so we've got lots of things that people can use to kick their virtual offices into higher productivity and being more effective.
Absolutely.
So if somebody wanted to come in and visit you on your webinar, where would they go?
They would just go to benchmarkemail.com. They can sign up for the webinar. There's a webinar link, and those are held typically every day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. All right. So what would you like people to do with regard to your company?
Well, you know, again, a great thing about a web-based business, as many, many web-based services are, you can sign up for free. You know, you get a free 30-day trial. You don't put a credit card in. You just say, okay, I'm kind of interested. You can shop around and see if you like it. Does it feel good to you? You can join the webinar. You don't even have to be a free trial member to join the webinar. So you can get a lot of information and vet Benchmark Email to make sure it's something that really works for you. You know, that actually works both ways for us, because we do want to build a relationship with people, and particularly in relating to the fact that we want to make sure that people are doing permission-based email marketing. It's kind of a little dating period. It lets us know, okay, their lists look pretty clean, or you were on a plan 500,000 emails, and now you're on a plan 1 million. Well, where'd you get another 500,000 emails from? I mean, there's things like that that allow us to kind of date in that period, but it's really great for the consumer, and you can even, you can shop the competition and see which product you feel most comfortable with. The one thing that I can say unilaterally is we offer incredible support. We go above and beyond, and we really help people get through that first email process. And, it really is very, very simple to use. You've got many, many people that are sending communication for their group that are volunteers. And so it's got to be really, really easy for them to use. Then you've got the superpower user that wants to include surveys and do all kinds of, more complicated kind of email marketing. And we've got all the people in between. So people can try it out for themselves. They just go to benchmarkemail.com and sign up for a free trial.
Wonderful. Denise, I really appreciate you taking the time. This has been lots of fun. You've given us lots of directions to move into. We'll have to get together again and come up with some more.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Hey, great.
All righty.
Well, there you have it. You have Denise and Dave both talking about moving forward in this marketplace. This is not the time to sit around and worry and wonder what's going to happen next. Plant your feet. Take a look at the goals that you have, begin to work with your team, and figure out how you're going to achieve those goals. The goals are there. They're achievable. It's a matter of executing and shipping it out the door. So this is the Pilgrim on the 405 wishing you a great week. Get out there and find out where you want to go, how you're going to get there, and get started.
You've been listening to the one and only Pilgrim on the 405, only here on OCTalkRadio.net.